Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you. I just love the fact that we have worshiped together and now we get to gather around the Word. What an honor it is for me to continue this sermon series, Fan the Flame. What can we pass on to the next generation? Hey, my dad was an incredible man of God. He was a preacher. I loved him with all my heart as he loved me. I used to look at his example as he would lead the church, as he had this desire to serve God. And what an example he was in so many ways. But there's something I want to talk about today that I hope and pray that I have gleaned from him. And I pray that I am passing on to the next generation. I want to talk about something that sadly is absent in many churches. In fact, if I'm honest, I think there are many Christians who would admit to the fact that it's absent from their life, or perhaps they never even had it. I think that as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, that this is something that is vital. It is so important. I think if we don't have this, then we are a bad example to the non-believer, that they look on us and say, well, if you haven't got that, then why should we think that you have anything better than we have? I'm talking about enthusiasm. Yes, enthusiasm. Now you may say to me, Neil, is that in the Bible? Absolutely. And I'm going to give you a scripture that says that. I'm talking about enthusiasm, that we have this intense and eager enjoyment when it comes to the things of God. Let me be very clear. I'm not talking about how loud you are. I know I'm loud, and at Apex Church there are a lot of people that are like me. I'm not even talking about how expressive you are. But I'm talking about that zeal, that passion, that enjoyment for God and the things of God that is seen in the outlook of your life. I'm talking about a zeal for life. The Bible talks about Jesus saying, I've come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. I'm talking about that zeal and that passion for living the abundant life that Christ has promised us in John 10:10. That when people look at us, they say, there's something different about you. I'm not talking about the absence of problems, the absence of challenge. I'm not talking about difficult days or dark days. In fact, the Bible is very, very clear that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But I am talking about something that's working in your inside that is expressed on the outside. I'm talking about enthusiasm. I believe that it's a hallmark of all Christians. We all should have it. Now, Paul writes to a church that's facing resistance and persecution. It's a church with a lot of challenges, a church that Paul has never been to but loves very much, in a city that Paul desires to go to. And Paul brings this incredible instruction in Romans chapter 12, verses 10 to 13. Listen to what he says. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now listen to this. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Romans 12 and 11, from the Amplified, we read these words. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. I love that. Nowadays, we are surrounded by all types of people that are fanatical about all sorts of things. Hey, you people tell me, well, we're from the Northeast. We're very quiet. We're in control of our emotions. We're not very demonstrative. We are happy, really. Well, I tell you what, I've been to many events and many different things where I've seen those same people And you look at them, and my goodness, they are enthusiastic, and they're expressive. Perhaps it could be a football match, or perhaps it could be out with friends, or playing sport, whatever it is. Well, I know that people are excited about so many different things. I just need to watch the news. I just need to look through history. And we see that people are enthusiastic about so many different things. Now, Rome was a crazy place. It was a major city. There was a lot of hustle and bustle. There were a lot of things that were going on. It was also a military city. And often, people there would respond out of duty and obligation, tradition and ceremony. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church, he wasn't saying that when we're enthusiastic and we have a fervor for the things of God, he wasn't saying that this is just something that we put on. He wasn't saying that this was something that we just had to display. In fact, he's writing to a church, he's writing to a people that were enthusiastic in spite of difficult and challenging circumstances. He was saying to the church, listen, this fervor, this zeal that you have for God, this is what separates you. This is one of the things that makes you so different. He was writing to people where he's saying to them, listen, in spite of no freedom of movement, persecuted and often imprisoned, even some of them that faced death in Rome. In fact, Hebrews 11 puts it this way. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Could you imagine that? Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. But these early Christians, they thought that it was a great honor that they could give their life for the cause of Christ. It's no wonder that it was said, these Christians, they die so well. This zeal, this fervor, this passion, this fire, the Spirit of God, what does that mean to us if we want to live the abundant life in 2022? Because I truly believe that as Christians, there is something on the inside, as the song used to say, working on the outside, that people can see displayed in our actions and in our behavior. What is it? It's enthusiasm. I believe that it's a word that really should be used to describe the people of God, just as it was used to describe the early church. The word enthusiasm has its root in the Greek language. It literally means the God inside. An enthusiastic person is someone who, in an extraordinary fashion, is inhabited by the Spirit of God. What was seen in the "we will not quit" early Christians, "we won't slow down, we won't give up" people of God, it was not about their theology or their religion or their badge or their tradition or their titles or how long they had even been Christians. No, it was their passion and their love and their fervor and their fire. It was a hallmark that we see in the early church in Acts chapter 2, that when people saw their zeal and recognized that these were ordinary people who had been touched by the extraordinary God, that they too wanted to be followers of Christ. It wasn't religion and tradition. I'll tell you what that does to people. Matthew 23:4, we read these words. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Wow, that's a tough scripture, isn't it? What it's simply saying is this, that religion and traditions and you must and you can't and this and that and this feeling that you're walking a tightrope, a place of freedom has become a place of bondage. That when you come to know Christ, now I'm not talking about living a loose life. I'm not talking about being 1 minute you're in the church and 1 minute you're out. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm talking about serving God. I'm talking about being all in. But I'm referring to the fact that if it's tradition and bondage and restriction and it's laws and it's legislation and it's all about that, I tell you what, you're not going to have the joy of the Lord. And that's why we discover here that the place of freedom literally became a place of bondage. That's why Jesus said these beautiful words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's what Jesus was saying. I haven't come to put more burdens on you. I haven't come to make it harder for you. I haven't come to make you sad and oppressed and depressed. He says, I have come to lift that burden off you. In fact, Jesus is referred to often as the great burden bearer. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, truly there is freedom. If you are driven, my friend, by guilt and pressure, if your Christianity, if your Christian walk, if your relationship with Jesus is one where you continually feel condemned and hemmed in and you're looking over your shoulder and you're afraid all the time. It's almost like that God is a tyrant. And I once heard an old preacher say, like some people think God is a tyrant who has a stick and they're out to get you. Listen, if God had a stick and he was out to get you, he would already have got you. Don't know if that's all good English, but you know exactly what I mean. But I truly believe that God comes to free us of our sin and give us a relationship with him. Once again, not that we live our life any old way. No, I still believe that there is a narrow road, but a road that we're guided by him, that we can truly say that the joy of the Lord is my strength. People don't need religion. They need a relationship with Jesus. That's why often I love when people come here to Apex Church, especially for the first time, because I've heard these words more than once. That's not what I was expecting in church. What do they mean by that? Well, I believe that part of that is enthusiasm. Number one, it's all right to smile. Number two, it's all right to get excited about the things of God. Hey, we laugh a lot because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I don't think that, you know, it's a lightness or they're not taking the things of God serious. No, absolutely. We are serious about the things of God, but we're just real people who are enjoying this life in Jesus. That's why I believe there are many families that come to Apex Church. I believe that's why there's a lot of young people that come to Apex Church. Why? Not because we are great, but because we know what it is to have this fervor and zeal and passion for the things of God. We serve a burden-removing, yoke-destroying, life-giving God. I was watching TV the other day, and as probably many of you have seen this, they show someone on a particular program, one of the actors who's meant to be the Christian. I can't stand how they portray the Christian on these programs. They're always intense. You know, they're always finger pointing. You know, they never seem to be happy. They never seem to just be enjoying life. And the other day I found myself screaming at the TV, put me on, put me in the program. Not because I'm better than anyone else, but I believe that the joy that resides within me and the enthusiasm is something that people can see, that Christians can actually be quite normal. I believe that it's contagious enthusiasm. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 8, 16 and 17 says. The Apostle Paul writing, thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. I could imagine as the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church that his heart was almost bursting. with excitement as he thought of the fact that here was Paul being the mentor, and here was this young man, Titus, that was coming to him. And Paul's heart is almost bursting with this thought that just as I displayed enthusiasm, now Titus is displaying enthusiasm. You see, there's that fan the flame. There's passing on from one generation to the next generation. Here Titus was displaying in his behavior that what he saw from Paul. And I believe that Paul was so excited, not only when he saw his enthusiasm, but enthusiasm takes initiative. Listen to these words again. He's coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. I tell you what, we need more Christians that will take the initiative to do things for God, to work for God, to get involved in the ministry of God. I love that about young Titus. You see, you may say, well, Neil, just calm down. You know, too many people are enthusiastic. We just need to calm down. Well, listen, for every person you think is too enthusiastic, I believe that there's 100 that are lacking passion. Let's take this opportunity. Some of us, we need to be introduced to Jesus, our first love, over and over again. What do I mean by that? Come on. When you gave your heart to Jesus, when you prayed that sinner's prayer, perhaps you remember that moment, you remember that day, and you were so enthusiastic. You knew that you had gone from darkness to light. You knew that your life was changed forever. And you had that love and that zeal and that passion for God, for the things of God, for the house of God, for the plans of God, for the purposes of God. But you know, it's so easy to lose that love, that passion, and that enthusiasm. That's why when you look at the Old Testament, you know, the children of Israel, they celebrated so many feasts that were celebrating that historical moments, things that had happened on their journey. And these feasts were a reminder of what God had done. Some of them lasted for weeks on end. Why? Because God's people understood rejoicing and thanksgiving for what God had done for them would keep them in that place of enthusiasm and expectation for the future. Psalm 100 says these words, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name." Why? "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." Worship is a celebration of God's goodness. Hey, you may say to me, well, Neil, my things have been going difficult for me. Things are challenging for me. Things are difficult for me right now. And perhaps they are, my friend. But when we choose to worship God, we are speaking to our circumstance. We are saying to that difficult day, to that challenging time, that right now, things may not look the best, but I am making a choice. I will worship God in the midst of difficult circumstances, good circumstances, dark days, and fantastic days, because I've made a decision that when I worship God, I speak about his goodness to me. That's why David knew. David had made some bad decisions in his life. David had got it wrong in his life for sure. But David did not save his praise for quote-unquote a rainy day. No, David knew that this was the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I am going to be glad in it. David, the great psalmist of old, he made every day a day to worship and praise God. He recognized that every day was a blessing and a gift from God. Therefore, it was a time to honor God and thank God for what he had done. Now, I recognize something. When it comes to enthusiasm, it's possible for a church to
to lose it.
We read that in Revelation 2, verses 1 to 4, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. Yet, listen to these words, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. The church at Ephesus, an incredible church, a church that went through so much and proved themselves faithful, a busy church, a focused church, a church that focused on what Jesus had done for them. Yet they had got so busy that they had lost their first love. They had lost their true focus. They had lost their true north. It's easy. Churches can lose enthusiasm. To the Galatian church, Paul wrote these words, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? Once again, a church that had come out of legalism, had come out of the difficulties of the daily trudge of life. But now what had happened, they had walked in freedom, and now for some reason, they backpedaled and they allowed legalistic thinking to rule within their lives. Individuals can lose it. Just look at the Old Testament. Look at Samson. Samson thought that he could play with the things of God. A young man that literally from birth, before he was even born, when he was formed in his mother's womb, his mother was told that this was going to be a child that was going to be different. He was a Nazarite. And God used him and was going to use him to do incredible things. But hey, the same Samson that could carry the gates of a city, that could break ropes that were binding him from the Philistines. He got caught up in the things of this world. He got caught up with a girl, Delilah. And you know what? The Bible says that he wist not, Old Testament, New King James. He wist not. He did not realize. He says, I'll wake up. I'll shake myself like times before. But he did not realize that the Spirit of God had departed from him. How sad is that? In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul says these words, Demas has deserted me. Why? Because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Excuse me there. Demas had got so caught up with what was happening in this world, the spirit of this age, what was going on around him. He started so well, but he got his eyes off of the prize and he got his eyes onto the things of earth. All right, Neil, what did I do? Maybe you're here today and you feel that you've lost a little bit of your enthusiasm. Well, here's a few things that I do to help me. Number one, I ask myself the question, Neil, where did you lose it? Perhaps you can go back to a time, a place, a certain event that something happened, and you can identify very clearly when that passion began to ebb from you, that zeal began to go. It maybe was a circumstance. It perhaps was something that was said. Where did I lose it? It's good if you can identify that. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's an incredible story about, the Bible refers to as the sons of the prophets, that where they were living got too small and they decided that they would go and build a bigger place to reside. And one of them had an axe and he's cutting down a tree. And as he's cutting down the tree, the axe head comes loose and he lost it. And he goes to the man of God and he says, alas, man of God, for it, the axe was borrowed. What did the man of God say to him? These words, where did you lose it? Identify that place. Go back to that time. Show me exactly where you lost it. Where did you lose it, my friend? Number two, a great question you can ask yourself is, why did I lose it? Listen, you can deal with it if you know what you're dealing with. Why? Did you take offense? Was it someone was careless with you? Was it that you just sort of slowly lost interest in the things of God? Why did you lose it? How did you lose it? Well, there's a strange one to ask. How? Maybe you lost your temper with someone and you're finding it hard to get back in the zone. Maybe you felt that someone spoke against you and you just decided there and then that, wait a minute, you took the huff, excuse me, and you just says, that's it. How did you lose it? I think that's a great question. This enthusiasm, this passion that I had for God, why did I lose it? And how did I lose it? Did I stop attending church? Did I stop getting involved in the things of God? Did I back out of small group, life group? How did I lose it? And then I think this is the best question of all. How can I find it again? I believe that like the psalmist David, when he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, I truly believe that there is restoration. I truly believe that you can find your zeal and your passion and your fervor for the things of God. When you get to that place of saying, I know I'm not where I should be. I know I'm not as passionate as I should be. But I want to get back to that place where people can look at me and truly see that there is something different about me. My friend, fan the flame. What can we pass on to the next generation? I truly believe that we can model enthusiasm for the things of God. Now you're listening to my voice. You're not a Christian. You know you're not walking with God. And you would say to me, today, Neil, I want to pray that prayer because I want to come into that relationship with God. Perhaps you've always thought that it's about religion. Perhaps you've thought, well, I can't become a Christian because it's this and I can't do that and can I do this and I can't. No, my friend, I've discovered this, that when you become a Christian and you begin to fall in love with Jesus, that you want to do the things that please him. It's not about what you can't do. It's what you can do for him. Listen, you may be listening to my voice, and you know that your life is not right with God. It's not only enthusiasm that you've lost, but you've lost your way. You've lost your direction. You've lost your purpose in life. Or to the outward, everything may be great. People looking on may think you've really got it together, but you know that something is missing. Perhaps you walked away from God because of a circumstance. Perhaps you walked away from God because of a person. Perhaps you walked away from God because you felt let down. But I want to encourage you today, come on, pray with me right now and come back to that place where you know I'm walking with God and I have a desire to see his will come to pass in my life. Would you pray with me right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner, but you are my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord, and I make you my Master. Guide me. Direct me. May I have that zeal and enthusiasm for you and for the things of God, because I know that I am a believer and a follower of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Daniel is going to come right now, and he's going to encourage you and tell you how you can get in contact with us. But I want to say to you, just as I finish right now, that as I looked at my dad and saw the enthusiasm he had for Christ, I want others to look at me, and in generations to come, and say, I'll tell you one thing about Neil Cameron. He was passionate when it came to the things of God.